after that tornado hit up there.
Early on your way.
James Steele.
Well, we had a bunch of stuff.
Last night, see how I was doing.
It's about.
Oh, you do?
Nine.
Yeah, and then at Crossing, and then downtown.
Okay. So we're going to call the meeting in order.
That's right, before more men show up, right? Oh, that's.
Can we get a roll call?
Harrison?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Michaels?
Here.
Mitchell? Carter?
Here.
Colbert?
Present. Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Need approval of the minutes for March 6, 2015.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Corrections? All in favor say aye.
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 No public participation. Any communication? Seeing none. We're going to go into the county engineer. No, sorry. County and township motor fuel tax claim for March
2015.
So
moved.
Move.
Second.
Jim, second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, now we go into the county engineer's report.
All right, first item on the agenda, number 8, resolution appropriating additional motor fuel tax money for the Monticello Road project. This is a project that's been done for a few years now. IDOT actually, about 3 years ago, decided that, or I guess the governor at the time decided that we weren't going to have any more auditors in the IDOT department, that they were going to move that over to the Office of Quality and Compliance. So we haven't had an audit of our books in almost 3 years for motor fuel tax at the county level. And we were kind of waiting for somebody to come and do that, but I can only wait so long in my MFT. Accountant is going to retire, and I'd like to really get everything cleaned up that's on the books before she retires so that we don't have to go looking back through things that she's done after she retires. So this is a cleanup resolution for the Monticello Road job. When we originally put this project together, it was envisioned as one entire project from Route 45 all the way to the West County line. And once we received federal money on the job, which included just standard transportation funds as well as highway safety improvement dollars, IDOT said we had to split the job in half because they didn't want us mixing the two jobs together, because the federal dollars were only on basically half of the job. So we had resolutions appropriating money for a singular job, and then we had to come back and do a resolution to appropriate money after we broke it out, and, you know, not knowing at the time exactly what costs were going to be incurred with each job, we missed our mark by $520,000 on this side. Half of it's engineering, because we appropriated all the money for engineering for the other job, and we ended up spending obviously about half of those engineering funds on this job. A little bit on right-of-way and about $300,000 on the actual construction of the roadway. These bills are all done and paid. This is just a matter of having the money appropriately resolved for IDOT so that we can close this job out with our IDOT books. So there's a resolution for your consideration, appropriating an additional $520,851.34 for this specific job, which was the non-federal aid job that we did on Monticello Road.
Okay,
quick question. So this, when you said something 45 West, mm-hmm. I don't understand. So Monticello Road from 45 West.
So Monticello Road from it runs from Route 45 all the way to the West County line.
Right.
But really, the first 5 miles were the only part that were federally funded,
okay.
because that's where all the accidents were occurring, and that's right. how we received the federal funds, was due to the accident rate on the roadway.
Okay.
This is actually for the portion that was non-federally funded.
Okay.
When we split the job up, we didn't split it as well as we had hoped as far as having resolutions. So we're closing out the job finally as far as having all the materials certified, making sure all the dollars match up and everything, and this is the additional appropriation for the federal, the non-federal aid job.
Okay.
Move to approve. Second.
Open for any more discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next item is an amendment to the Dewey Fisher Road Federal Aid Agreement. As you know, this job's been bid. We've actually started work on the job in the last week or two, due to be complete by October 31st of this year. As you recall, the estimate or the actual bid came in over estimate about 7.5%. And this is a federal aid agreement that I had spoken with you about at the last meeting, where IDOT is appropriating additional federal dollars to this job to cover 80% of the overage from the bid. So this actually increases our federal aid portion for the job. The resolutions that are attached have to be attached per the agreement, so that IDOT knows that we have appropriated enough motor fuel tax money for this job, but we do have enough motor fuel tax appropriated for the job to cover our 20% of the overage due to the bids coming over. So this is just a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the amended agreement that will go to IDOT.
Motion.
So move. Second.
Second. Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Next one is a resolution appropriating additional funds for County Highway 22. This is north of Penfield up to the North County line. This job was done a couple years ago, closing out the books. On this particular job, we appropriated $1.1 million. The job total cost was $1,202,617.92. We do these resolutions, they're usually way ahead of time, and we're taking a shot at what these projects are going to cost. And now IDOT has changed their rules again. They tend to change them more often than we would like. It used to be we would send in our authorizations when we did our resolutions so that we got the motor fuel tax money authorized. Then they changed it to you don't send your authorizations to get the money until the job is complete. Now they've changed it back again that we're supposed to send them prior to actually starting the job. So anyway, that being said, the job... total cost was over the resolved appropriation by $102,617.92, and this is due to the fact that we used a different asphalt mix design on that job than we had predicted when we put it together a couple years prior to the job actually going to bid. And as you know, a couple years ago when gas prices were very high, asphalt prices were high. They've actually come down, as you'll see in the next agenda item, but this is a resolution appropriating those additional funds. The job is closed as far as paying out the contractor, and this is the final resolution for appropriations.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Megan, second. It's open for discussion. Chris?
Jeff, maybe need a little background here.
Mm-hmm.
The contractors bid on these jobs.
Right.
There's a fixed amount of the bid.
Yes.
And so I assume that all these overages, like the one from the Monticello Road and this one, is this a case of the essentially agreeing to a change order on the fly but not getting that change order?
Well, here's what happens.
To the board.
So we do a resolution, you know, before we really even go into design, because we have to have money just to pay engineers. So we take a shot at what the project's going to cost probably a couple years before we're actually going to do it. So then we bid it. Whatever that bid comes in, even if it comes in over the resolved amount, we don't come back and get an additional resolution, because we know that at some point our resolution is going to have to match the actual total final cost of that project. And the final cost could include utilities, right-of-way, engineering costs, construction costs, okay. Everything.
Okay.
So instead of asking for, let's say this job, and I don't know what the exact numbers are, Chris, but if this job came in at 1.17 and we had 1.1 appropriated, and then we come back and ask for another $70,000, then when the job's totally done, now it's $1,202,000, and we have to come back for another resolution. So we tend to wait until it's kind of all finally resolved and we get the actual numbers from IDOT, and we put our engineering costs in, because when I say engineering costs on a job like this, it's not a consulting engineer. When we go out and do the physical construction inspection with our forces, we charge that against the motor fuel tax cost.
Got it.
So those are included in there as well.
Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Okay. Next resolution is awarding a contract for the bituminous materials. The first one is for the furnished and spread. So this is the actual, the contractor buys the oil from the oil distributor, brings it out in the tanker, puts it in his spray truck, and sprays it on the roadways. You'll see that the low bidder, the only bidder, Ileana Construction Company out of Urbana. There is a tabulation on the back side of the resolution that shows the actual costs that the that came in due to the bid. I will tell you that for the furnished and spread, our estimate was $2.42 a gallon for the item number one, came in at $2.22. And the other big item, which is the item number five, our estimate was $2.75, came in at $2.46. And then just to give you a historical basis, in 2014, item number one was $2.37, so it's down to $2.22 this year. And item five was $2.68, so it's down to $2.46 this year. So oil prices are down a little bit, which is good news for the county and the townships as far as, being able to do a little bit more work this year than we had anticipated as far as the prices go. So I'd ask for your approval of the furnished and spread resolution for Ileana.
Been moved and second.
Second.
So, Ms. Harris, second it.
Be quiet.
Okay, it's open for discussion. Chris and then that.
First.
Okay. I don't mind.
All right. I'm not going to complain about the price, but what do we need to do to get more than one person to bid on this?
We're never going to get more than one person because, I'll be honest with you, these guys cut up the state and say, you're going to basically do this work and you're going to do that work. That's nothing we have any control over. Obviously, this is a contractor in town. There are no other contractors in Champaign County to do this kind of work. So for somebody else to come in and do this, they'd have to be coming from a longer distance, which obviously is going to increase their costs. The good thing about the company that we have in town, in particular for the townships, is the money is so tight at the township level that a lot of these guys will do, instead of, like, when we do our roads, we'll do an entire section, you know, 5 to 10 miles long. We go out there and do it, which means they only have one mobilization as a contractor. They only go into one spot. They're moving their equipment to one spot. A lot of these townships will do a quarter mile here, a half a mile there. Some of them will actually do, I just want to do the center 10 feet on this road, but on that road I want to do the outside 6 feet. And these guys don't charge anything extra for that. They come and do it. I'm sure they're mumbling under their breath about some of these guys, but the fact of the matter is they're very good to work with. They do a good job, and you know, they have a lot of flexibility in their work. And so if you want to look at a perspective statewide, you can look at counties from, you know, you don't want to go up north of I-80, but this price is as good or better than the bids that other counties are receiving, you know, that are in a similar geographical area, because we've looked at that before.
Good, Diane.
Got a question. I could be just looking at this funny. On the first one, the MC30 item 2 is $3.60 a price. And then on the second one, the same MC30 is $3. And I notice one's 5 and the other's 10. One says furnished and spread and the other's FOB. But
right,
that's a big swing in the price if that's the same material. So I didn't know if there was something different about those that I'm missing.
No, I mean, we have two resolutions here. One of them is for Ileana. The next one is for Emulsicoat. So the Emulsicoat resolution is actually just to pick the oil up at the plant right out here. And there's no labor involved in that bid whatsoever. It's just the actual
And you're oil. Combining these two resolutions?
Right now I was just talking about the Ileana one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The actual number 12 only says resolution awarding contract, but there are two actual resolutions, one for furnished and spread and one for FOB. If you guys want to combine them, that's fine with me, but I was just talking about the furnished and spread right now.
$3 to buy it, 60 cents to spread it.
Yep. And that's a small quantity. I mean, you look at the HFE, you're 723,000 gallons, and the MC30 is only 5,000 gallons.
Well, I just saw the same thing and didn't know what the difference was.
Who makes the decision to choose that particular product? Is that the townships?
Yep. They come in generally in about October of every year, and they set up their program with our accountant, how much rock and how much oil, how much labor, how much equipment rentals are going to do based on, you know, how much MFT dollars they're projected to get throughout the year. And then they actually tell us what oil they would like to use. And I don't pretend to be an oil expert. There's not that many different ones here. But the difference between the two bigger items, which is item 1 and item 5, is the HFP is a polymer modified oil. So it's got little strings of polymer in it, supposed to hold the aggregate or whatever you're using as your top coat a little bit better. But obviously you're paying a little bit of a premium for it. Whether that's worth it or not is up to debate.
I mean, do we attempt to advance any sort of best practice recommendations, or at least try to get them to standardize on fewer product types, so save some money and volume, or do we just stay out of that?
I stay out of it. We have 28 highway commissioners that all have 28 different opinions, don't we, John?
Might be more than that.
They may have 60 different opinions.
Just ask.
Yep.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And the other resolution for the FOB oil, Emulsicoat, who is our local oil distributor, low on that. You'll see the item 1, $1.85. We had estimated it at $2.10. Last year it came in at $2.05, so it's 20 cents lower than last year. The HFP came in at 210. We'd estimated it at 240. Last year it was 235. So.
Is this where Billy Anig gets the stuff from anyway?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And some of the townships who, some of them actually get their oil FOB from Emulsicoat because, I don't know, I think they want to make Ileana nervous for lack of a better reason, because there is an oil distributor in Vermilion County who comes right up to the county line, and so these townships tend to try to play him against the guys from Urbana. Also, they like to know what it's actually costing them to spread it on the road. So this gives you a pretty good idea. You know, you look at the actual cost for HFE, $2.22, and the FOB is $1.85. So you can see there it's 37 cents to haul it to the site. They charge, I think it's around a nickel to 6 cents a gallon for a tanker truck to haul it out to the site. So they have roughly, you know, 30 cents or whatever in the actual spreading of the oil, their labor and equipment to do that work. So it's good to have some FOB so you actually know what you're paying for the oil and know what you're paying the contractor to do the spreading. But the majority of them bid at furnish and spread because then they can just run it all through their motor fuel tax fund as one item instead of having to pay a contractor separately to actually deliver and spread the oil. So I'd ask for your approval of that FOB on Emulsicoat. And Emulsicoat probably delivers to, I don't know, at least a dozen counties. They just happen to be here in Urbana.
So moved.
Second.
And moved in second. Discussion? No. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
So at the last meeting, you gave me the authority to award the salt as long as it was within 10% of our estimate. It's very close to being 10% over the estimate, but the actual bid from Compass Materials, which is who we got our salt from last winter at $108 a ton, came in at $81.91 a ton. And in speaking with the townships and the cities who, you know, were in on the 10,000-ton bid with us, we agreed that it's better to accept this price at this time than to, you know, roll the dice and see what's going to happen in August or September like we did last time. I make no guarantees that this is going to be a better price than the CMS is going to get. I'm kind of guessing, honestly. But I think it'll be awful close, if not better than what CMS gets. And the fact is we have a bid that's, you know, we can get salt. We don't have to worry about it. So we did go on and accept and have a contract now with Compass Materials for $81.91. And you'll see, I mean, the next closest was $92.44, and we had some guys, you know, up at $132 a ton. So they were significantly lower than anybody else. Had the lowest bid been $92.44, we probably would have not accepted and tried to roll the dice with CMS. But we felt that we were comfortable with that price and went ahead and accepted it. So that's what happened there with the salt. Anybody have any questions on that?
Were you generally happy with the 10,000 tons? I mean, I don't know if that was a lot. What you might use? Or?
Well, 10,000 is, you know, the total quantity between the city of Urbana, city of Champaign, village of Savoy, Champaign County, Mahomet Township, Urbana Township, and Champaign Township. So all those entities combined came up to be 10,000 tons. Now, we only agreed to purchase 70% at a minimum as a group of that 10,000 tons because actually Urbana said that they didn't want to at this time go with the 8191 because they've got a bid that's 2 years old that they've been re-upping with a contract that they think is going to be in the 70s, because they've got, you know, this ability to re-up at, I think the most it can increase is like 5% a year or something like that. So they're kind of holding their cards. Obviously, if they re-up and their quantity doesn't meet their needs, they can come back to this contract and get it at $81.91 a ton. The city of Champaign was happy with the bid. Townships were happy with the bid. County, we're looking at about 3,500 of the 10,000 total bid is what our needs will be for this year. So,
Chris?
Jeff, is that a typical year, or is that, you know, we're still trying to reduce based on...
No,
that's what we really expected. Yes. How would you do this year?
Who's that? It probably left about 300 tons.
Well, how much we use?
How much we use?
A couple thousand?
I think 1,000. All right, so we did pretty well this year.
But we're bare bones in there right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting that the farther away you get, the cheaper the price gets.
As far as?
Distance.
Oh.
I mean, Tilton costs $132. Chicago, it's $126.
Yeah.
You go to Tulsa, Ohio, which is basically Cleveland, it's $92, and then you...
That's where those companies are from. Ribby's actually a local hauler who is getting it from Chicago. I have a terminal up there, so he's going to have to drive from Danville to Chicago, back to Champaign.
Get me some coffee.
The other materials generally are stockpiled in Peoria, right on the river. They come off of a barge. It's just a matter of who owns what stockpile over there. I know that Compass and Cargill have stockpiles over there. Morton's kind of gotten out of the big salt business around here. But yeah, I think there's actually comes from a terminal in Chicago, so you got a longer haul than Peoria. But Compass and Cargill will both have terminals in Peoria.
Morton's got to pay for that wall of the building that fell off.
What happened there?
You saw that the side of their salt warehouse collapsed.
Really?
A month or so ago, and fell on a bunch of cars in the parking lot.
Where was that at?
In Chicago. Chicago, or Houston Avenue, Chicago.
Great, great. Yeah. All right. Just a quick discussion about the fund sweep that happened. What's that?
Did we need approval for the salt?
Nope. We already had approval. It was just for your information, because whenever you guys give me award authority, I like to come back and give you an update on what actually happened if we awarded it.
Okay.
The sweep, the $1.6 billion sweep that the governor instituted here a couple weeks ago, for the motor fuel tax fund, there was a $50 million sweep out of the motor fuel tax fund, as well as a $250 million sweep out of the road fund. So in total, about $300 million coming from reconstruction of roadways and maintenance of roadways in Illinois to plug that $1.6 billion hole. And they did this swiftly. We already have, we get a monthly allotment of motor fuel tax funds. It was estimated that the $50 million out of the motor fuel tax funds would be about a 4 to 5% hit to each local government, townships, counties, municipalities. We generally have been getting about $180,000 a month, typically, in motor fuel tax funds. Our last allotment was $73,000, so they took it already. It's gone to plug that hole. So there were obviously a three-page laundry list of things that they swept it from, but the motor fuel tax fund was one of those funds. So,
Jeff, what's the difference between the motor fuel tax fund and the road fund? I've heard about all these sweeps, but I've never been sure what the road fund is.
Road fund is IDOT's money that doesn't that comes from probably the general.
That's only for essentially maintenance of state roads.
Yes, yes. Motor fuel tax fund is distributed to all governments.
But isn't it a fact that the motor fuel tax fund in its inception was only to be used for roads, period?
Absolutely. It is a statutorily dedicated fund.
That's only for roads.
Yep.
Yeah, I think The school got some of it, didn't it?
I don't know.
Boats get it, it's used for everything now.
What's that?
Motor fuel tax?
Oh, yeah.
Transport some in the school.
It used, when it was first, you know, came to light, motor fuel tax fund was just supposed to go towards roads for the state and all the local municipalities. Now, of the $1.2 billion that was collected last year, almost $200 million of it never made it to the formula distribution to, you know, the state, the counties, and the townships because of boating funds and administration and vehicle inspection funds and everything else you can think of that's already being taken off the top before we ever see the distribution of the road fund or the motor fuel tax
fund. And it hasn't even been adjusted for inflation in 23 years.
That's right. We had a meeting with the new secretary at IDOT a couple weeks ago with the County Engineers Association. I'm on the liaison committee, which is the committee that meets with IDOT periodically to talk about issues. And had the motor fuel tax fund been adjusted for inflation since 1992, it would be 34 cents a gallon. Now it's 19. So there's a lot of inflation there that we never, but there is actual talk, and it seems like very positive talk about some kind of increase in the revenue fund, whether it be a motor fuel tax increase, whether it be some kind of other revenue, but something that's that we can count on that, you know, is not just going to be a one-time bonding fund where you, you know, you get a few hundred thousand dollars to go fix this road and then you don't get any money again for a long time. Those types of things really tend to hurt. I mean, they help us in the short run, but as you know, you get a big influx of money and then all the prices go up. So how much does that help us? But if we had a, dedicated fund that, you know, was predictable, reliable, that would come on a yearly basis. And the feds are actually talking about an increase in revenues. And if the feds do an increase in revenues, the state has to have matching money in order to receive the federal money. And at the current motor fuel tax rate, they wouldn't have enough matching money in order to be able to receive all their federal dollars. So they would have to do something in order to increase the revenue so that they would not lose out on any federal dollars. So more traction than I've seen in 10 years to actually do something for roads.
But even if we do that, what's to keep them from
nothing
to steal the divvy into the, steal it down the road from us? It's just,
I know this is unprecedented in motor fuel tax fund history. They have never swept money from the motor fuel tax fund that anybody's aware of because it is statutorily dedicated. But apparently, that didn't matter this time.
Did they take money from the cities?
Well, the cities get motor fuel tax funds, yes. Yeah, the city of Champaign told me I think they were down $70,000 or $80,000 in their last allotment. Because I asked Dave Clark that question yesterday. So, exactly. And the townships.
Their money is for roads, too.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know what else.
Well, the big house just went in and gave some of it to school. Now they're going to raise the gas tax.
So now you got your cars paying for your schools. I don't know.
Well, where's the money come from the lotto supposed to go to school? You know they won't tell you.
I know.
You cannot find
them. I'll reach administration or IDOT about like a future capital bill.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then, like, we have like a list of projects that we'd want included.
There hasn't been to that extent. They haven't actually asked us, you know, to submit projects. Usually, it's like, it's a fire drill 2 weeks before they pass the capital bill, where they ask you for that stuff and you got to send it all in. Obviously, we've got projects that we could show very quickly the need for through our pavement management system. We can generate a project literally overnight and come up with a with an estimate on it in order to submit it. So the big push. They had a stand-up for Transportation Day at the Illinois Terminal yesterday. And so that's basically the people in the MPO, the Kuats, so the cities, MTD, the county, Village of Savoy, University of Illinois. The big project that community-wide is being set out there is the I-57, I-74 interchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's $120 million or whatever the number is now. And it's actually supposed to, this month, they're supposed to award the contract to the engineers for the actual development of the plans for that project. So, but that's kind of the, you know, Olympian Drive. It was Curtis Row, and then it was Olympian Drive, and now, you know, those two projects have been funded, so now we're looking at the interchange as the kind of the community project.
Chris?
I just, since we're talking about Springfield, the message is just, this is maddening, right? I mean, A, it hasn't been even adjusted for inflation in 23 years, which is a problem, because in that time, as Robert John just said, it would have doubled, right, basically, pretty over much. That time, just based on inflation. In that time, I mean, what, diesel fuel, concrete, or three or four times what they cost then. So, I mean, they've increased. They've become twice more expensive than the rate of inflation would justify. And in the meantime, people are driving more miles on fewer gallons because fuel economy, cars and trucks, is getting significantly better than it was 20 years ago. So we're putting more damage on the roads for lower entry fee, basically. And I mean, the capital bills are great and all, but what they end up being, essentially, as you know, is a tool to use to get legislators to do what you want them to do, right, rather than any kind of long-term support for the infrastructure. I guess this, I mean, I almost feel like I helped start this I-57 interchange thing, because I made a comment here that Al Kurtz went off on about, you know, we've had some accidents there lately, why don't we put up some better signs? And then the next thing I know, I turn around, Illinois has spent $100-some million on this. I'd rather have them put up some signs and spend the money on fixing the roads we already got, but I know that's probably not going to happen.
Well, a project of that magnitude will never come out of the general flow of money. It's going to have to be a capital project.
I think, and ironically, I think your sign things worked. You know, we're not having the accidents out there that we had prior to the signing.
I'm not even taking credit for it. I'm just saying I feel like there was a solution there that we could have done for less than $120 million.
Well, they put up the signs and they put that friction course down, which actually grips your tires a lot better, so you're not getting that, you know, that sliding or shifting of loads like they used to get. So both of those things have been very helpful.
Well, yeah, I don't think we should slow them down any. I think they should move forward with the project, so...
I guess the only reason I'm bringing it up is for Shana to, you know, make sure this we get our voice heard about this motor fuel tax issue, because this is not, you know, we can talk what we want about capital bills and patches, but I mean there's a serious structural problem in the fact that they implemented something in 1992 as a way to pay for road maintenance and basically set it up for failure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And especially with fund sweeps, I think we're going to enter into a new world where that's not going to be a one-time thing. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different pots of money, even like settlement money that was being swept. I mean, the state gets $250 million and spends less than $8 million on actual tobacco.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's a good precedent.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Now, cities like Champaign and Urbana that are home rule, you know, they instituted their own 4-cent gas tax. Not that that's plugged all their holes, but it's definitely stopped the bleeding a little bit. You know, and there was some talk about, well, we should give local governments the ability to pass gas tax. That sounds great. It puts the onus on you guys to do it, but it also then the state government's going to say, well, you've got the ability to pass your own gas tax. We don't have to do anything.
This may be the only time you're ever going to hear me stand up for federal taxes. But the advantage of doing it on the federal side is it keeps the playing field level across the state. So you don't end up all of this, oh, we can't raise ours because people drive across the border to Indiana to buy their gas.
Yep. Yep.
So that may be a situation where we do need some help from the feds.
Yep.
And the animal gas is not as cheap as it was.
Yeah.
But still, you can drive from Urbana to Champaign and save 6 or 8 cents, or drive up to Thomasboro or wherever you want to go, and it fluctuates all over the place. Yeah. Exactly.
It's that diesel that's killing.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah, it was an environmental change.
You ain't going to change.
All those big equipments, big trucks, whatever, those are all diesel.
This time, when you want to keep that in a while.
And I haven't really talked to anybody
I got both
that has said if they actually dedicated, let's say it's a dime, if they actually dedicated it to the roads, that they would not want to pay that.
They wouldn't no more.
If we're going to pay it, make sure it stays in the roads. It doesn't get swept away to other things. And how do you guarantee that in this political climate?
Well, and even if you appropriate money, doesn't mean it's going to be spent out. As of Friday, we can definitely see the realities of that. So appropriations don't even mean anything anymore either. So there's always that.
Yep.
Yes.
Is there any talk about working on that section of I-74?
Oh, she over there. I did. Awful quiet this morning.
Which section?
Is it by St. Joe?
Oh, yeah, St. Joe's a mess.
Oh, I didn't thought I didn't see it. Slipped behind it, huh? Mm-hmm. Boy, that thing is little, it's tight. I could hardly get it out.
That's
what
somebody mentioned to me that I
understand.
They got
center cables
right
there.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to get my little.
That'll help.
Little bag.
That'll
stop the wind.
Get ready, you may turn over. There's high wind. Hold on.
That's all for item number 14. I don't know if anybody has any other business.
Seeing none, there's no chair report. All items going to designate it.
Yep.
So we're going to have all items. Was it 7 through 14?
8. Yeah. 8, 10, 11.
12. Okay, is there anything else to come before the board? If not, I can entertain a motion.
So move.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of adjournment say aye.
Aye.
Aye.